Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Title of my message today, for those who take notes, is simply this, part of it. Everyone say part of it. Part of it. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 27. I think it's up on the screen as well. Oh, amazing, beautiful. And it says, there is one body, but it has many parts. But all its many parts make up one body. It is the same with Christ. We are all baptized by one Holy Spirit, so we are formed into one body. It didn't matter whether we were Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free people. We were all given the same Spirit to drink. So the body is not made up of one part, it has many parts. Suppose the foot says, I am not the hand, I don't belong to the body. By saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. And suppose the ear says, I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body. By saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If the whole body were an ear, how could it smell? God has placed each part in the body just as he wanted it to be. If all parts were the same, how could there be a body? As it is, there are many parts, but there is only one body. I'm going to jump down to verse 25. It says, in that way, the parts of the body will not take sides. All of them will take care of one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part shares in its joy. Verse 27, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of it. Everybody say part of it. Part of it. You know what? Over time, what is progressively becoming more aware to me, especially like as you go out into, especially like high schools and like communities and all of that kind of thing, is that everybody is desperate to be a part of something. Everybody is searching for the next thing to be a part of. In some ways, it's kind of like the world is competing for who has the bigger vision to gather people around to be a part of something. And you know what? There is, like I said, I'm the youth pastor, and so I've been at a couple of summer camps over my time. And there's one particular summer camp that has stood out to most of our young adults / older youth that were there, and that was Summer Camp 2019. And the reason is because for the first time, everybody gathered into a room and they brought up a girl on stage, and she had one leg shorter than the other. And if you've been in church long enough, you've probably, like in this house, you've probably heard this story because they love to tell it. And they got up on stage and they brought up heaps of students and they were like, come on, everybody, stretch out your hands. We need your faith. And they started praying for this girl's healing. And everybody watched her leg grow in front of their eyes. And it was incredible. It was amazing. It was an incredible miracle that we saw. And to this day, I am constantly hearing that story from students, because it wasn't just something that they heard at a distance. It was because they were actually part of something. And so they tell it and they're like, no, God can like heal people's legs and grow limbs and whatever, because they saw it, not just because they saw it with their eyes, but because they were a part of the moment. They were a part of it and it meant something special. And here's the thing, everyone is looking to be a part of something. And when you're a part of something, rather than just a spectator to something, it changes everything. And here's the best thing to be a part of: the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the best thing to be a part of. Using this analogy was actually genius, because there's so much that we can understand about God's heart for us simply because we have a fundamental understanding of how the body works, okay? I have a body, so I understand in many ways how the body works. So for example, I know that the body works best when all parts cooperate. So if my will says I want to go left, then my legs cooperate with what I'm doing. Otherwise, we've run into a problem. Okay, my leg or my left leg doesn't have a mind of its own and decides, no, I want to go right. It cooperates completely with my will, right? In the same way, I know that if I, say, get a paralyzed hand, okay, hypothetically, If my hand gets paralyzed and it no longer works or it cannot complete its function, I know that it is not a part of the body, it just needs healing. Right? Just because it's not doing anything, it doesn't mean it's not part of the body. It just means it's not functioning as it was designed and it was supposed to be. There is so much that we can understand about God's heart for us and the church simply because we have a fundamental understanding of what it is to have a body. Yeah? And here's the thing, we are the body and Christ is the head. I am not the body, I am a part of the body, but you and me together, we are the body. Just like my eye depends on my hand and my knee depends on my shoulder, as Christians, we depend upon each other. We are expected to receive and we are expected to give help from the rest. We are expected to help each other, to compensate for weaknesses, to celebrate strength. That's what it means to be a part of the body, because when one part rejoices, all rejoice. When one part suffers, we all suffer, because we are not an individual person existing in a group of people. We are united. We are one body. Hurting my hand is hurting my foot, and hurting my ear is hurting my eye, because we don't just care about my part. We need to care about the whole. And how you play your part will depend on how you see what you're a part of. Let me say that again. How you play your part as an individual is going to depend on how you see the gravity of what you are a part of. Do you see the church as a group of individuals that meet on a Sunday and disappear into their own lives the next week? Or do you see people as different parts of the same body working together in complete unity and knowing that when one is doing well, we are all doing well? When one is hurting, we are all hurting, because we are one body. I feel like I'm being a bit repetitive, I know, but it needs to get into our head that we are one body. And I believe that the best church, and the church that God is building and creating, is a church that recognizes that we can do more together than we can as individuals. And so today I want to unpack a couple of things, but mostly two things that I think we're better at when we do it together. Is that okay? Are you with me, church? Great. All right, point number one. Together we grow. Together we grow. So community is crucial for transformation. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. I don't know if you've ever got your knives sharpened. Anybody? No? That seems like a task that is like the last thing on my mind. Anybody else? Like, oh, I just woke up today, I'm going to get my knives sharpened. Like, that's so random. Anyway, I haven't done it, but I have seen it done. And what I do know is that it would be ridiculous to try and sharpen your knives at a distance. Absolutely ridiculous. It just doesn't work. Two things need to be brought together in order to be sharpened. And so being in close proximity isn't always pleasant or easy, but it is the mechanism that God has given us to sharpen one another. So you cannot live isolated and also get sharpened. Together in community is the God-given gift that He has given us in order to grow. We bring out the best in each other, and sometimes we bring out the worst, but ultimately, in a greenhouse of faith, all of those things are opportunities for us to become more like Christ. To present our strengths and our encouragements, our weaknesses and our failings in life, in death, in good motivations, in bad ones, in triumphs and in slipstreams, whatever that might look like, we grow when we're together, when we are together. People and community is going to do that to you. And when we read through scriptures, there's this constant instruction that we are given to throw off the old self, to be transformed by the word, to be imitators of Christ, to live in such a way that honors Him, to be satisfied in His likeness. It does not matter how old you are in this place or how long you have been a Christian, we all have some growing up to do. None of us have made it. We all have some learning and some maturing to do. And the moment we are too good to start learning, we have completely missed the point. Because this life from my birth to my death is going to be me learning and growing to become more like Christ. That is the instruction that we are given all throughout the Word. And the way He does this? Together. Together. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16. It says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip his people for the work of service so that the body may be of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is in Christ. For Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, each as each part does its work. For a tree to reach its full potential, it needs to be planted somewhere. A tree cannot grow outside of the soil it is planted in. It could be the most talented tree, could be the most diverse tree, could be the most prophetic tree. This tree could be the greatest evangelist you've ever seen. This tree could be introverted or charismatic. But if it refuses to not be planted in soil, it's not growing. It might look the same after 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, but the test of time is going to reveal the fact that it has not grown and its fruit is not righteousness. Because this is the greenhouse that grows us, not just growing in anything, growing in God. The church is important. Being a part of the body is important. It is not just about growing. It's about growing in God, growing in love, growing in compassion, growing in mercy, growing in forgiveness, growing in discipline, growing in surrender, growing to become more like Christ. And we need each other to do that because we need to come together, not just in attendance, but in heart. In becoming more like Him, we glorify Him. And in glorifying Him, that is the whole reason we exist. Did you know that? Did you know that the whole reason you exist is to bring Him glory? It's the only thing that matters. Bringing Him glory. Your choice to glorify Him is a unique gift that only you can give Him. There's a beautiful verse in Revelations 4 where it talks about day and night in the heavens, they never stop singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." We're going to be doing this whole glorifying thing, glorifying God for eternity, and we're here to start now. This is why we exist, in growing in God, and becoming more like Him together, we glorify Him. And that is the whole point. And that's going to move to our next point, which is together we impact. Together we impact. Lately I've been rereading the book of Acts, and it's fitting in this season because we're talking about the church. And if you don't know, the book of Acts is the birth of the early church. It is beautiful. I encourage you, just go and read it because, like, the more you read it, the vastness you see of the impact that they were having. These guys, the disciples, the apostles, they were going around, but they weren't these like nice, tidy, cleaned up guys with the right strategies and church structures to follow. They were just visionaries and dreamers. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had an encounter with, like, well, they walked with Jesus and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were just dreamers. And they were visionaries. And they just gathered together because they were all like, look at what God can do. This is what we do together. And the more you read over the book of Acts, the more you realize the radical impact they had. Like thousands and thousands were being added to the church. And there's just so much happening. And it's not based around one person. It's based around all of them. So there's a gathering at believers at Pentecost, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And at the sound of it, all the Jews in the surrounding areas heard the sound, and they gathered together to marvel at what was happening. You have Peter and John going and seeing a lame man walk. And then you have Stephen, who is out preaching the gospel, and he's getting stoned for the gospel. And then the heavens open up and he sees the glory of God. And then Saul is organizing Stephen's persecution. But the gospel is still going out and people are still being added to the church and miracles are still happening and the Holy Spirit is still moving. And then Peter is put in prison under guard, but the church, it's the church that was praying, and an angel comes and releases him from prison. And then Philip is traveling on the side of the road where he meets a eunuch, and then he preaches the gospel and baptizes him on the side of the road. And then God is speaking to Ananias, who is sent to Saul, the Christian killer, to heal and baptize him. And then Aeneas and Lydia was paralyzed and bedridden, and then he got healed, and then all those who saw it turned to the Lord. And then Saul, who was now Paul, the former Christian killer, is now getting persecuted for the faith that he once radically opposed. And the body is getting bigger because he's going all over. He's going to one place to the next, and then there's other people. And you know what? The apostles, they're dying. They're getting killed, but the church is still growing because there's something that is happening when the believers gather together, and they're like, when one part suffers, we all suffer. When one part rejoices, we all rejoice, because it's not just built around this radical one person or this super apostle. It's about the church coming together and actually going out and doing something with the Spirit that God has placed on the inside of us. We are the body, and the gospel in the book of Acts is spreading like wildfire, and nobody can contain it. And it's not because of one person, it's because of all of them, because they're unified, because they're together in one heart and in one mind. I am not the body, but we are the body, and together we actually impact. I just like imagine one person glorifying God. It's like beautiful, right? But then someone comes and gathers alongside and also starts glorifying God, and it's getting louder. And then another person, and it's getting louder. And then another person, and it's getting louder. And we know that there is only so loud that we can get on our own. But together, every voice matters. Every part matters. The louder we get, the more we reach. Here's the thing. I am not the body. I'm a part of the body, but we are the body. And God isn't just looking for me. He's looking for us. How you play your part will depend on how you see what you're a part of. Together means that the saints are blessed. It means that the Savior is glorified and that the world is reached. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Nepal with some friends, and I had a great time. Like, it was a fun time in many respects. But if I'm honest, the first couple of days were a little rough. Reason being is that, you know, I've been to multiple places, like I've been to different parts of Asia and this, that and the other, but from the moment I was at Singapore airport and started my journey to Nepal, there was just like a real heaviness that came upon me and my friends just in our journey over. And it was confusing because I was so excited to go. I was like, I'm keen for a holiday, I'm going to climb a mountain, it's going to be awesome. And then there was just this weight that I was carrying. And then things just started to happen, like delays. And things that just weren't working right, how they were supposed to. I just couldn't get rid of this feeling on the inside of my heart that something was really off. And then I landed, and I'm not going to lie, the spiritual atmosphere was just something I've never experienced in my life. It was heavy. It was frightening. It was intimidating. There were idols and gods and everything everywhere, like, that you could visibly see. I was walking past different people, and you could honestly see demons. Like, it was just insane. And I probably was about 48 hours in, and I'd gotten to this point where in my heart I was like, God, like, I need something to change. Otherwise, I'm getting on a plane and I'm going home. I'm going home. Like, I actually cannot be here. It's suffocating. I can't breathe properly. And I woke up that day and I prayed the prayer to God and I said, Lord, I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me, because if I get to the end of this day and things aren't moving, I think I'm going to have to go home, because the atmosphere is too oppressive and too many things have gone wrong. It's like I'm offbeat. Something is just not right. And we continued around this day, and got to the end of the day. I was walking to dinner, and we're looking for a place to eat that we had on Google Maps, and honestly could not find it. I was like, oh, I'm lost as well. and I was looking around everywhere for this place, and I was like, I guess we're just going to have to go to plan B, because this place apparently is incredibly obvious. Giant sign, giant orange sign apparently, but I just cannot see this thing, and it's in front of me, but it's not here. So it's like, we're just going to have to go to plan B. Went to plan B, and started walking just a little bit further down the road, and my maps was like, you're here. And I looked down, and it was this narrow alleyway that took me to the back of who knows what. And I was like, oh, I'm like, you know those places that aren't super inviting, and it's like, if I was on my own, I would not be walking down here. It was kind of like that. And I was like, I'm at the end of myself. I'm just going in and whatever. And so me and my friends, we walked down to the end of this alley and into this restaurant, if you could call it that. I'm pretty sure it was someone's backyard. Actually, it was somebody's backyard. They lived there. And there were these tables. They were pretty, you know, like, pretty dirty. It was not a person in sight except for the lady who owned the restaurant. It is a restaurant. I don't know why I'm saying it like that. It was a restaurant. And she kind of, like, we walked in. She looked up. It's dead quiet. And it's almost like, can I come in? Like, I'm not sure. And she was like, walked over, handed some menus, left. And, like, it was just all the strangest experience, strangest welcome I've ever received to a place to eat. And I sat down with my friends, and probably for the first time I had an honest conversation about how I was feeling. And I was like, I think I need to get out of here. Like, I didn't need to get out of here, but I'm feeling really defeated. I'm feeling so weary. I'm feeling so tired. I don't know what to do. And then we kind of spoke about how it would be really nice to find a church. And I was like, yeah, it'd be awesome to find a church, but in Nepal, the climate is a bit hit and miss, so it's not like you can just Google a church and find one, because there's challenges that arise with being a church in Nepal. And so I'm like, how on earth are we going to find a church? I don't know, but let's see if we can do some research, maybe email somebody when we get back, just try and find someone. And no word of a lie, about a minute and a half later. Oh, actually, another important point. We're also having a conversation about how crazy, like, this place is, and how I'd love to find a Christian. Just, like, a Christian. Just be a nice breath of fresh air, because they're, like, nowhere. Nowhere at all. And a minute and a half to 2 minutes later, this lady walks in, and she looks to the lady in the kitchen who's making our food, and she goes, I didn't see you at church today. And I was like, oh, I was like, are you serious? I just about fell off my chair. It was crazy. And then I looked at my friends, and we were like, did we just hear that? Like, this is insane. And then they turn around and they're like, excuse me, ma'am, did you just say church? And she's like, yeah, I did. I'm a missionary here. And she's like, and this lady that we walk into in this restaurant, she's like, she is part of my congregation. And I was like, oh. I was like, okay, God, I hear you. You're here. And we proceeded to have a conversation with this woman and found out that the place that we were sitting was the building of the church where they actually ran until about a couple of weeks or months ago or something, when till they moved to a new building. And this lady gave us the details to church. So we were looking for a church and we ended up in a church. It's crazy somehow. And they gave us the information of a couple of different churches that are around the place, some time, some details, some contacts. And so the next day, we went over to a church and we met some incredible people who encouraged us and who completely changed our entire experience. They told us where to go. They told us what to do. They showed us the beautiful parts of Nepal that I had really wanted to see. And we ended up having an incredible week. And the next week that we ended up back at a different church the next weekend, they were doing some prophetic words in the service. And so they just have a moment where they're like, does anyone have a word? And this lady stood up and she started just sharing God's heart for Nepal and for people and for the church. And it was so beautiful. And then she turns to me and my friends and she says, I just feel like God wants you to know that you're right on time. She's saying, I feel like God wants you to know that, like, it's not an accident, and there's like chess pieces that are moving around and doesn't really seem to fit, and something's been really off, but you're right on time. And from that moment on, the weight that I was experiencing lifted, and I was like, I could come back here. I could come back here. This is a beautiful place. And it's what was interesting is I woke up that morning. And I said, Spirit guide, Spirit lead, I need your help. And you know what his help came in the form of? The church. His Spirit guided, and it still led me to church. It still led me to believers. It still led me to family. I was on the other side of the world, weary, confused, tired, in many ways in pain, and just wondering what was going on. And his answer was still the church. It was still the church. Because we are the body. And let us never think that we are just a group of individuals that come together on a Sunday and then go and resort to living our own lives. We have to love each other. We have to grow each other. We have to go out of our way, get past the discomfort and sometimes the insecurity and the ego, and build each other up in love, because that is what the church does. And the church is best when we are all in unity and functioning together as one body under Christ the head, whose will is what we are yielded to. See, sin, it motivates us to promote self to be the highest priority. And once it rules the heart, everything and everyone will be sacrificed in order to satisfy its cravings. But the message of the gospel is one of others. The thing that frees is a message of others. Selfishness, ego, insecurity, it's going to kill togetherness. And it will take pleasure in robbing the church of its design. Because together we grow to be more like God. And together, we impact and reach the world, and you cannot do it on your own.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.